listening to the Think Radio Network. It's 9 p.m. Eastern United States time, 2 hours Universal time. Up next, World Microscope with Michael Ketter. We hope you'll stay tuned. Listening to the Think Radio Network. Good evening, and welcome to World Microscope along the Think Radio Network. And that's right. If you're listening on shortwave, it's through WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz and 5.105 megahertz. If it's on AM or FM, it's along the Think Radio Network in the United States. And, of course, it's always available on your computer whenever you would like it in three very fine locations, WBCQ.com, WorldMicroscope.com, and RadioNewYorkInternational.com, all three. And there are archives of the show at, indeed, yes, WorldMicroscope.com, the email address for the show tonight. And it is Tuesday, December the 7th, 2004. Indeed, a day that will live in infamy. Among other things, before it was Pearl Harbor Day, it was my father's birthday in 1928. Maybe it was a day to live in infamy then, too. Perhaps it's always been one of those days. The email address for this show, think@worldmicroscope.com, think@worldmicroscope.com. And if you'd like to call this evening, the telephone number in our studios, area code 412-371-5054. Country code 1 if you're calling from outside the United States of America. Area code 412-371-5054. And last Friday, we lost microwave communication with Monticello, Maine, our main distribution point for the show. So consequently, those along the Think Radio Network and across the shortwave giant, yes, WBCQ, like Zeus throwing lightning bolts out at the people, you heard the Gene Shepherd Show. Someone who, if you're not familiar with him, really good storyteller and someone who lived a very colorful life. And I guess, probably one of the most influential broadcasters of the 20th century. So check it out. If you don't know more about Gene Shepherd, go to WBCQ.com. And just follow it from there. There's a great website for him himself. That has a ring to it, doesn't it? FlickLives.com. F-L-I-C-K Lives. L-I-V-E-S. All one word. .com. It's very, very good. Good. But what that means is that we're a day behind. So many of you have written in and sent email, and there are so many things. We're going to have to forego the headlines for this evening in order to catch up. Last week we were talking about security on so many levels. One of the primary questions that came up about last week's show is there was a diagram that I was referring to that apparently many of you thought was something that was in a book or something I was actually referring to. No, if you take notes or if you want to, you can map this out yourself right now. It's fairly simple, and after a while it will become deeply ingrained, so you won't have to worry about it. But in the situation of security, you've got the two types, offensive and defensive. You've got the three levels, the personal, the national, and the global. And you've got the three major sets of influences, the acts of humanity, acts of nature, and acts of industry. So those, in terms of rough categories, allow you to sort of rein in questions that have to do with how you phrase things to ask a question. See, this is a dialogue here, and I am very appreciative of the fact that it is working in that fashion. So take notes any way that you would like to, any way that makes sense to you. You can think of these first several weeks as a sort of primer to the rest of the course, because this is to address several email that came in. How come I won't initially deal with very specific things that are going on, very specific problems? Well, we will, believe me. It will lead to such minute detail soon enough that we'll be begging for the days that it was a little bit broader based. But in this case, it's so that we can lay some groundwork. Again, you can think of this kind of as a classroom in a sense, that we'll have to develop a way of learning through this. Oh, by the way, happy Hanukkah to those who celebrate it. I believe it does begin tonight, today, tomorrow. It depends on what part of the world you're in right now. But, hey, happy Hanukkah. Now, let's see. Catching up catching up with what we have to in terms of... In fact, this is the way we'll do it. I think we have just enough time to read one of the letters that came in concerning last week's shows. This comes from Matthew Wietendorf of Cleveland, Ohio. Dear sirs, actually, I have to admit, I'm taken to any letter that refers to me in the plural, so I do like that. Dear sirs, tuned into some techno music at 2:16 GMT, followed by Michael Ketter delivering news concerning the election on the Ukraine. Reception was good. Am I right when I heard real sponsors? Yes. Excellent discussion on security, too, during the second half of World Microscope. Okay, now here is actually the question that's posed within this letter. One news story that was not covered was what I consider the disturbing reforms that are being proposed that will make the United Nations more inclined to resort to the use of force. When the United Nations wanted to ensure peace after World War II, it wanted to avoid the failures of the League of Nations that had tried to stop war by the rule of law. It therefore concentrated on getting rid of the underlying causes of war: ignorance through UNESCO, hunger through the Food and Agriculture Organization, pestilence through the World Health Organization, etc. Was the United Nations successful? If you saw its purpose as preventing World War III, yes. But the above methods are slow and expensive. They are now finding force much more expedient. I say fooey on expediency. I want that actually as a bumper sticker. Maybe we'll have to do that for this show. Fooey on expediency. I might actually make that my mantra. By the way, what is this diagram you are always talking... Again, another person asking about the diagram. You can draw it any way you like. But thank you, Matthew, for the letter. And I will address the basic issue here that comes to mind when you tie these two things together: security and the current reforms that are right now being placed in front of the United Nations. They've had a rough 4 years. Since 9/11, they've come up against a hard argument against the United States. And they found themselves, I think, in many cases, unable to do their job. Now, the way this is being interpreted by many people, for instance, Matthew, the basic angle that he takes in his letter is that why this would be a bad thing is because what we did initially is bad, and we don't want to condone that with a world policing organization, and we don't want to repeat mistakes that happened before. Well, that's a very good point. Now, if you think about security from a strategic standpoint, and again, strategy is all when it comes to security, and the individual is all when it comes to security. It's the two things that are truths no matter where you go. Well, it comes down to this. What would motivate the United Nations to change so greatly? Perhaps being bitch-slapped by the United States did it. Now, I can see that certainly being a motivating factor. Now, why would they want to do that? Well, if we do something that is really out of control, because up until that point, all of the members of the United Nations, all of the cooperative states, so to speak, cooperated. They didn't, you know, there was no rogue state in there that made unilateral decisions. You know, it's been a while since that's gone down. So, now that we have a new leader, now that we have someone like George Bush, who's capable of making unilateral decisions and involving full-scale war preemptively on countries, the United Nations needs to be able to police that behavior before it happens. And that's an interesting slant on this. You know, that's tough beans. That's what that is. You are listening to World Microscope along the Think Radio Network. We'll be right back.
WECQ, Monticello, Maine, the United States of America.
Molly, looking for chili lovers to try Stag Chili in the Smart Pack box.
Hello, you're standing in my lane.
I'd just like you to try a taste of Stag Chili.
Okay, okay. Yum.
Yeah.
Beef, beans, tomatoes, onions, spices.
Uh-huh.
Hey, this is right up my alley.
And Stag Chili comes in this convenient Smart Pack.
You mean that box?
That's the Smart Pack.
Those other chilies are headed for the gutter. Get it?
Oh, spare me.
Stag Chili in the Smart Pack. The chili chili lovers love.
This holiday, the magic is right in your neighborhood at Radio Shack. We have unique gift ideas no one else has. Our collectible coin bank holds a powerful surprise. 12 AA and 12 AAA batteries, all only $14.99. Or roll away with our fun commemorative Radio Flyer toy wagon, also loaded with 12 AA and 12 AAA batteries. It's only $19.99. Just two more of the great gifts you'll find.
Only at Radio Shack.
There are angels in this world. Angels who help feed the hungry ones, save the lonely from despair, and help the lost find their way. They work quietly. And when they're done, they don't fly away. They walk. Thank you for giving to the Salvation Army. You're an angel.
Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org or call your local Salvation Army.
And we're back on World Microscope along the Think Radio Network. And beginning tomorrow, with those of you either listening on computer, on shortwave, or on the community or public stations, a special treat begins tomorrow. Yes, the quarter and three-quarter hour breaks have not ads, yes, something more palatable for the audience that is listening through those mediums, and those listening on AM and FM stations across the Think Radio Network, well, continue to buy what they're selling, because that's your jobs as Americans. You see, there's some of the sarcasm that I promised. Well, good evening. We wrap up this evening's discussion on security. It's actually last week's discussion on security with one final thought here. Information is the gun of the 21st century. It's become very apparent that one way or another, information will play into every key decision at a faster rate and with greater consequences than ever before. It's a funny thing. It's a statistical thing that will make you wonder when you look at it. But that being the case, times have changed. The Intelligence Department right now, there's a bill before the Senate it's up before them tonight, and tomorrow it goes before the House. It is a compromised bill that has to do with the intelligence reforms suggested through the 9/11 investigation, which I believe was headed by Raymond Burr. Yeah, I think that's who that was. Yeah, and they're going to protect us from Godzilla. Perhaps that was a film I saw. I'm not sure. Well, welcome back to the show. I want to thank everyone involved in the production of the show. Our executive producer, James Strader. Of course, our friends at WBCQ The Planet. Larry Will and LF Midwood along the data lines, providing the pipeline to the future through the Internet web presence. Thank you all very, very much. The telephone number in our studio, area code 412-371-5054. Country code 1 if you call from outside the United States. Area code 412-371-5054. We begin this week with the discussion of war. And again, there's a lot of details we'll be going into, but the bottom line is we need a framework before we can go anywhere, because it's an unwieldy thing. And I do want to hear over these next several days from vets, from people who have experienced war on many levels. I've certainly known enough career men and women, actually, several career women, many career men. I've seen the military do good things for people. I've seen it do bad things for people, you know, as far as being an institution itself, something that when you're not necessarily at war might be a very good thing. But tonight we're going to start the discussion. Oh, yeah, email address, think@worldmicroscope.com. I have flashing lights to tell me what to do. See, I like that. That makes my life easier. It's what everyone needs, are flashing lights to tell them what to do. See, perhaps that's not what... Well, that's why this is a discussion. Perhaps that's not what we need. But the question tonight that we start this with is, when thinking of war, where do we get our strength? Now, there's obviously many types of strength. There's troop presence. You know, there's having physical people to put in the field. Then there is intelligence, obviously. There's armament, you know, and again, there's the armament, you know, it's the same thing as when you are dividing the terms of security, and that's why I brought up that reference initially. This will come up in many of our discussions. There are offensive wars, and there are defensive wars, just like there is offensive security and defensive security. It's different ways of looking at the same thing. Now, from that point, there are the personal things, there are the national things, and there are the global things. Now, right now, we're in a national, hybrid, global thing. I mean, we certainly are going to wreak global consequences from our actions, as are all the players. You know, so that's an interesting concept. But where do we really get our strength? Is it truly through intelligence? We know that intelligence can certainly be a failing. But how much of a strength is it by compared to other things? Now, again, you have to remember you need to look specifically at the big picture. You have to have a whole list of things in your strategy that involve all the possible interplay that might happen. It's kind of like a program that plays chess. It's a bad film with Matthew Broderick or something like that. But the bottom line is this. Ultimately, at the bottom of the list, the very, very bottom, we have one thing that keeps us from nuking each other, and that's assured destruction. You know, if we press the button and anyone else sees us do it within the time we press the button, which it's likely that they will, they'll press the button on us and there'll be a whole bunch of this and that. And once you're down that slippery slope, that is it. So you have a certain number of strategies between your worst case scenario and where you're starting from. And of course, as Oscar Wilde had said, and Nietzsche said, actually in two different ways. Oscar Wilde said, you must choose your enemy wisely, which, you know, that on its own is quite stunning. As Oscar Wilde might say, it's quite stunning. It's very, very stunning. Then you have Nietzsche, who said, you must choose your enemy wisely because you will become him. Now, it's funny, too, because if you look at the war in Iraq, well, it is kind of odd how when Bush spoke, actually after 9/11 and during the period of where we were all still on the same page as far as that went, his speeches sounded remarkably like translations of Arabic of something that Osama bin Laden would have said. And that he speaks of his holy mission. And all these things, it's kind of like, isn't that what they were saying to us before? And, you know, the whole idea of them being such barbarians, and then you find out that we're torturing them, and that we're torturing people in Guantanamo, and isn't that what the other side is supposed to be doing? You have to start raising these questions. Now, let's see, we're going to take a look, if it doesn't crash, in the email box. From Scott, yes, I have my ears glued to my microscope now, and they are stuck. It's just like super glue, so I had better listen to you. Well, that's good advice to anyone listening. Well, keep your eyes peeled, because you never, ever can tell what you're going to see. Oh, Robichoux from West Texas is checking in. Had something else to say, and then forgot. That happens. Well, Robichoux, congratulations. Welcome. You are in good company. Many people have that particular thing going on. But in war, now, the reason that this whole where do you get your strength thing comes up is because if you have, like most of us do, a limited set of resources and a fixed amount of time, and you have a specific goal. So like in our case, we have the troops that we have in Iraq, plus the 23,000, 24,000, or however many it was we've just added. And then we have between now and January 30th for the election. and that the goal is to secure the country well enough to be able to allow them, as a country, to have elections. So that's the framework of all of this. So, okay, the first thing we need to do is assess where we are. Well, a good example is that as I look at the map, and granted the map does show things from a rather skewed point of view, square footage-wise, Iraq is pretty close to California, something like that. So you have an area the size of California, and that it has several major cities, pretty much just like California would, maybe six what you would consider to be major cities. The most major of them, Baghdad, the one that we took first when the initial blast was over and when the war was declared over, which unfortunately was, I believe, 1,000 American soldiers ago. Well, there is an airport that's outside of Baghdad. That airport is about 10 kilometers away, maybe just a hair more, a hair less, one way or another. It is probably one of the most problematic 10-kilometer stretches of road in all of Iraq. It's littered with mines, with the types of things that where people are going in all along the time. I mean, just it's one big booby trap. It's a 10-kilometer mouse trap. So, if we need to use that road to go to the airport. Now, you know what it's like when you or I have to go to the airport, and there's a road between here and there that we have to use. If we can't get to the airport, a whole lot of things go wrong. I think that's happened to every one of us. At one point or another, you miss a connection. For one reason or another, things don't mesh up, and you're basically screwed. Now, let's look at that from a military logistic perspective. Baghdad is your most important city. It is where your big business is done. It's the Washington, D.C. of Iraq. I mean, it is the place that they triumphed. It is, you know, we won the war in seizing of Baghdad, where it seized up. Okay, so we can't secure the airport between Baghdad and the airport. Okay, we can't secure that road. That's tough because we have to move material in and out. We have to move people in and out. Currently, we have to use helicopters to get between the airport and the green zone. And so we've got dignitaries and people like that going back and forth with little helicopters, little armored helicopters, and little small, anything small that flies that's got weapons on it basically is okay. But if you have to take a vehicle, now think about the stuff that flies in and out for the military, all the things that they need. Well, I think we've lost an awful lot of people along that road. And I think the reason why is because, unfortunately, we have a security problem. Again, if you look at pipelines, you've got exploding pipelines all over everywhere, the big asset of the company. We don't have enough people to secure it per se. From a logistic point of view, we have some serious problems that have to be addressed. Again, you have this issue where the CIA sends a letter to the president that says, indeed, not a letter, a correspondence. Doesn't that actually sound much more European, kind of romantic, kind of more international? He had a correspondence. It certainly wasn't a love letter. He said, "Well, sir, we have problems. It's very unlikely it's going to get better. It's going to get worse. It's going to be living hell to make the elections work. And, you know, see you on the flip side." That's what he said, and that's what I'm saying here on World Microscope and the Think Radio Network. Stay tuned.
WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, the United States of America.
Hi, I'm Laszlo. If you like booking travel online, you may want to go back to calling a travel agent after hearing this one. Federal regulations that regulate paid bias in travel booking systems expired in August. That means an airline can pay to have their flights listed ahead of the competitors, even if there's ridiculous connections. And according to the Wall Street Journal, the situation is even worse with hotels. Orbitz, Expedia, and Sabre are negotiating deals with hotels. They'll list their preferred hotels at the top and tell you that other hotels are sold out, even when they're not. The travel websites are buying inventory at hotels and trying to get rid of that inventory, so they'll steer you towards what they have left as opposed to the best deal. This is bad news for consumers. Some hotel groups and airlines are fighting with travel websites over the issue. Until lawmakers reinstitute the regulations, consumers are advised to search at least three different websites for flights and hotels, as you'll often find a difference of $100 or more. I'm Laszlo. That's what's on my underground hard drive.
This is your brain. And this is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. This is your brain on drugs with two strips of bacon. This is your brain on drugs with a pound of ground beef, a can of crushed tomatoes, a half cup of milk, and a bay leaf. This is your brain on drugs, with a street crew working in the next brain. And this is your brain on drugs when you've left it on the stove too long, and it caused a kitchen fire that spread to the neighborhood of your brain. Any questions? The Partnership for a Brain-Free America.
Special thanks to Harry Shearer and the Partnership for a Brain-Free America, another very socially conscious show that is worth your ears. Le Show, heard all across the United States in various forms, but also heard here on the shortwave giant, WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, the United States of America, the planet. Tonight, we are broadcasting on both 7.415 and 5.105 megahertz shortwave, and we're available on your computer at www, and I swore I would never say that again, .wbcq.com, worldmicroscope.com, and radionewyorkinternational.com, and all across the United States of America on the Think Radio Network. The telephone number in our studio is area code 412-371-5054. If you are calling from outside the United States of America, you have to put the country code in there, which is country code 1. It's one of those American things, you know, we're number one. Country code 1, area code 412-371-5054. If you would like to communicate via the post with this program, which I highly encourage it, there have been some remarkably literate letters coming in. That address is World Microscope, care of the Think Radio Network, 230 Homestead Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15218, in the United States of America. Once again, that's World Microscope, care of the Think Radio Network, 230 Homestead Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15218, in the United States of America. The email address, think@worldmicroscope.com. And speaking of which, there is more mail that I should look at before I address the next topic. Okay. From Dan, and it is a Baghdad Los Angeles comparison. It is a link. Let's see. We shall follow the link, because this is indeed a show about learning. By the way, if you are a conscious computer user, then you basically want to make sure that you are using a good browser. And unfortunately, if you're using Microsoft products, they're not exactly what you would call safe. So go to Mozilla. Mozilla.org. And you can get Firefox or Mozilla. Both of those are very, very good open source browsers that are safe. You know, they're very, very, you know, they're good to use. They're tasty and delicious. And believe me, if it's going to protect your computer in any way, shape, or form, then it's a good thing. So, Baghdad city size comparison. If you are like me, you've seen a map of Baghdad on television a lot in the last few days. The scale of the map may be hard to grasp, so I've created these city size comparison pages. Both maps below are 9 miles long, 9 miles across. Okay, the URL for this. So, again, this is why it's handy to have a pencil. I'm giving you a moment here. http://. Like that was a surprise. cockeyed.com/city-size/baghdad_la.html. And the thing I am being deafened with is a telephone call. Let's see what we have here. Good evening. You're on World Microscope.
Yes, this is Jim in Oklahoma.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm just fine. Before we talk about Worf, I wanted to say I can tell that you really are an intellectual, Mike, because when you give your phone number, you say 50 instead of 50.
Oh.
And that's one of my pet peeves. You know, O is a letter, zero is a number.
Very good. That is true. And now that you mention it, my father used to get on me about that. That's where I got that habit from.
Well, it's a good one. But, yeah, I wanted to talk about, I think there's a lot of denial and ostrich head in the sand kind of thing going on about this Iraq war. Mike, you know, it's not going well over there at all.
That's definitely the impression that I've gotten. And, again, when you start looking at the numbers, just how many people dead versus how many... there's three levels, like the how are we doing with reconstruction, where we've had the war damage, and how are we doing security-wise, and how are we doing death-wise. It's bad on all three fronts.
It is bad, and I've been doing quite a bit of research on it, trying to read everything that I can, and there's kind of a classic theorem that is used in a counterinsurgency war. And that is that you need 10 regular army troops to combat each guerrilla.
That sounds like a pretty reasonable ratio, because with anything less than that, I can imagine where it can easily have the tables turned on them.
Well, that's, you know, that, like I said, that's kind of the classic theorem. Well, we have about 150,000 troops in Iraq. Most of those are not combat troops, of course.
Right. In fact, most of them are varying levels of logistics and administration.
Yes, so my point is that if the Iraqi insurgents have 15,000 in their number, then it's a draw.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about where we're at now. Now, if they can grow that number, we're in deep trouble. If you look at the numbers we had in Vietnam, they're, you know, much, much higher than what we have in Iraq now. Iraq's a much larger country than Vietnam.
Right.
And so, you know, as I'm saying, it's not looking good. You know, the Greeks lost entire armies in the Imperial Wars. The Romans did. The British did. And, of course, the Germans did in their invasion of Russia. And, Michael, I'm telling you that if this foolish escapade is not ended, we could lose 100,000 troops over there relatively quickly.
Yeah, and that's something that I've been afraid of, and that we would be keeping up a tradition in that region.
It has definitely happened before. See, as you were saying, you know, the various aspects of war, we're not on the winning side of any of them. We don't have any intelligence in Iraq. Hardly any at all. None that's trustworthy. We don't have the numbers. We don't have the materiel. And so I don't see any way that this war is winnable.
Now, Rumsfeld today was saying how he seems to believe that before Bush is out of office, that we will be completely done over there. Now, how could that possibly happen? From your point of view, how in 4 years could we resolve this?
The only way that we are going to be out of there in 4 years is if we just cut and run. that probably is our best option. Bush is a lunatic, and he has crazy people advising him, and so that's probably not going to happen. See, you know, the joke of this is, Michael, is everyone knows how this war is going to end. It's going to end like Saigon in 1975.
Good old Nixon's peace with honor.
We're going to be throwing people off of helicopters and running our butts out of there. Now, that may happen 6 months from now. It may happen 6 years from now. But that is the way it's going to end. The Americans are going to go home, and the Iraqis are going to stay there. Now, 1,000 more Americans may die before that happens, or 100,000 may die. Which of those two options it is depends upon people like you and I and how involved we get in changing our country's foreign policy.
That's exactly correct, and being vocal about it. Now, from where you are in Oklahoma, what are your main news sources?
Well, I haven't owned a TV since 1994, so it's entirely the Internet and shortwave radio.
That's good. That's good. Television, I have no use for it anymore. Every time I turn it on, I hate it more.
But one other quick thing, since we agreed on this first part. I heard you say a couple of nights ago, last week, I guess, that our armed forces in Iraq are fighting for us.
Oh, I said that actually because, technically speaking, that is true. In other words, they're supposed to be defending us. There was a supposed threat. It's a sad fact that they're not. They're actually over there wasting their lives, unfortunately.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up. I didn't think you really... Now, many of them, of course, believe that they are.
And that's actually what they're being sold. And this is something where public awareness really does help. You have to remember that from a soldier's point of view, they're being sold that they are essentially saving the world. They're making it a safe place so that mom and dad at home can live free. And unfortunately, their fighting in Iraq has nothing to do with that.
No, I mean, it's very easy to get 18, you know, to 25-year-old boys to go shoot people. You know, that's not hard to do.
Especially when there are problems getting employment and that, you know, the poor people traditionally have filled out the armed forces.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you won't find any rich kids in there. One more thing before I go, though, Michael, to drive this point home.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that the Marines and the Army that are fighting in Iraq today are no more defending the American people than the Waffen-SS were defending the German people.
That's very, very. That's a good correlation there.
Now, many of those Waffen-SS, I mean, you know, they're you know, villains now, but they weren't evil kids, most of them. They believed in what they were doing. They were wrong.
Right, and that's just...
The kids are wrong, too.
Well, history will prove that out, and unfortunately, the direction that Bush will take this with an ever-tightening noose of people there that agree with him and... I don't know. It shows very little hope for improvement for our soldiers that are over there and unfortunately dying in large numbers.
It is, Michael. Your show sounds good. WBCQ is coming in good and loud in Oklahoma, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very, very much. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you are listening to World Microscope along the Think Radio Network. This is Michael Ketter speaking. I'm your host. I'm here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we'll be discussing all kinds of things this week. We're concentrating on war, various aspects of war, and where we're headed from here. Because once you're in a war, you can't just cut and run. Or perhaps can you? We'll be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, the United States of America.
You've played music.
Yeah,
you've played movies. Oh, Margaret, is it really you?
But have you ever played Sense? That's right, Sense. Introducing Sense Stories, a whole new way to play Sense. Just put a Sense Stories disc in the Sense Stories player. Push play and enjoy. Every Sense Stories disc plays five amazing scents, one after the other. Sense Stories by Febreze. Push play and you're there.
We're at the downtown gym looking for chili lovers to try Stag Chili in the Smart Pack box. Excuse me, sir.
I'm kind of busy. I'm training for a fight.
Just try a taste of Stag Chili.
Mmm, that really packs a punch.
Yeah.
Beef, beans, tomatoes, onions, spices.
That's Stag Chili right here in the Smart Pack.
You mean that box?
Yeah, it's a Smart Pack.
This came out of that box.
Off the Smart Pack.
This will knock those other chilies on their can.
I guess you just got a boxing lesson, huh?
You a funny guy.
Oh,
I'm kind of fast.
Yeah.
Stag Chili in the Smart Pack. The chili chili lovers love.
Feed someone who is hungry, and you will feel full. Give a child a reason to dream, and you will feel at peace. Help a teen reclaim his youth, and you will feel years younger. When you help the Salvation Army, everybody feels better. Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org. Need knows no season.
We're back with World Microscope along the Think Radio Network. Tonight, we're discussing war. And where do we go from here? Now, the reason I bring that up is because we have a logistic question to ask. And oftentimes, as time has shown us, things don't necessarily divide evenly along partisan lines. And it's funny how if you're a partisan thinker, or if you're someone who is extremely rigid in your thought, let's say if you're a young soldier and you've been told exactly why you're doing things and what you're doing it for, and you will believe it. What will you do, soldier? You will lock and load. Well, if you're a very, very rigid thinker like that, then you probably are having all kinds of things simply miss you. You just aren't absorbing the reality of what is going on. Now, here's war. We're in Iraq. Our country, in fact, here, we'll back up one step. Our country is at risk. No one will deny that 9/11 did change things. Okay. The world is at risk. We're at risk. We need our military. We were in the beginning of an economic slump, or well into an economic slump at that point. Yes, we need to be defended. Something happened, you know, kind of like Pearl Harbor today, you know, the day that we'll live in infamy, December 7th. Well, that was the 9/11 of its day. It was the wake-up call. So, okay, that's the case. Now, we determine, at least to the best of our intelligence, which, as Jim pointed out, is highly dubious at best, that Osama bin Laden is responsible. Now, since he claimed responsibility recently, that's good, so at least we know we were right with that. But the target was Al-Qaeda, and it was, you know, basically limited to Afghanistan. Okay, well, we go in there. Now, whether we like it or not, we didn't do a very good job. You can say we succeeded on many levels. I mean, they legally elected, what's his name? I will remember his name sometime soon. Their first elected real leader. The one who, not the one who was the thief. No, not the one who had cut people's hands off. No, the other one. No, well, the production of opiates out of Afghanistan is at world record proportions. Before that, in the 20 years leading up to that, it was a steady decline. The rest of the world sees, you know, opium production as being one of the things that undercuts their societies. And under our tutelage, they have flourished. So, that's one of the interesting things there. But, you know, all that aside, we're supposed to go after Afghanistan and Osama bin Laden. We know he's still alive now. It's been 3 years. It's quite a while since that, you know. Oh, Ahmed Karzai. Thank you. That's a pretty good arrangement. My wife opens the door, a cat comes in, and I get an answer. Hamed Karzai. And he is the first elected leader of Opiumville. But the funny thing is, even if we did a marginal job there, we technically were still at risk in the United States. So then the president waged an unnecessary war in Iraq. Now, again, these are logistic things. I'm not necessarily partisan, although God knows I'm partisan about these issues. I feel very passionately about these issues. And again, to remind people, I make sarcastic remarks all the time. I will say something with a such a deadpan face, you would swear I believed it. You know, Nazis killing puppies, I'm all for it. You know, you have to remember, I will say things in order to make you think. And that oftentimes it's ironic, paradoxical, or sarcastic. Oftentimes those are very, very good levers in thought, at least so I've found. But we've got this unnecessary war going on. We have a huge expenditure of materiel and a huge expenditure of human life. And again, I have been so stunned and hurt by the American media because they, as a good example, will describe something. Well, there was an attack today. 45 people were killed, non-American. And it's like, oh, well, that's good. That's just so inhuman. That's just so sick. These people, again, remember, when they talk about the Iraqi police force, who we are training, in quotes, when they die, they're dying on our behalf. You know, we're working for us. They're trying to be the people helping the United States. And when they die, we should treat it every bit as much as when one of our soldiers died, because they died for the cause, whatever cause it might be this week. You know, what was it originally? They had missiles that could destroy us in moments. That led to, we want to bring democracy and bring a horrible dictator down and show the rest of the world that democracy can live in the Middle East and that it will flourish. Now, forget the fact that Iraq has three different factions, the Shias, the Sunnis, and the Kurds, and that they fight amongst themselves, and that's part of the policing problem that we have. And forget the fact that everyone else who tried to colonize this over the many, many years, again, as was pointed out, it is almost a tradition that that country not be physically a country. It's three regions of people that fight all the time, and that's what they do. Now, we have to deal with the fact that we've started something here. There is a movement now in the world that is breeding terrorism. Now, what breeds terrorism? We're talking about war, and where do you get your real strength? A good analytical thinker is going to say, well, what breeds terrorism? Poverty does. Hunger does. You know, those two things, I'd say, you know, a lack of independence. That's a third one. Okay, we've got some good reasons here. What breeds terrorism? Why do they want to do this? And then you have religious reward or the idea that you are doing something righteous. So if you push the right buttons, again, in a all-encompassing scenario, if you've pushed all the right buttons, you could enrage billions of people against the United States, which apparently is actually what is happening right now. So what happens next? Well, we know that Iran has been thinking very seriously about becoming a superpower in that respect. You know, one of the people with superpower weapons, you know, atomic weapons, the type that can do some real damage. And we might have to have a war there. Bummer! All the troops are gone. You know, people are having their tours extended. The guard is called in. And again, if I have made sarcastic remarks about the National Guard guarding us and protecting us in Iraq. That's a joke, son. You can get your head out of them long hair books, boy. That's a joke. You got to understand, I feel very, very strongly that the National Guard is supposed to be here on our soil protecting us, not over there. And the profitability of this war, the likelihood of winning this war, I'm getting off topic here because it leads to, we have to deal with North Korea. we also have to deal with Iran. Okay, those are two formidable enemies that could actually do things to us. Now, we have another player, something that, you know, Bush doesn't really want to talk about, at least not in a negative sense. China, right now, on many levels, is the biggest challenge to the rest of the world. They're consuming four times the resources that they were 10 years ago. That they are the manufacturing base of the world right now. They're becoming it at an alarming rate. Now, that being the case, they have people, they have money, they have power, they certainly have a military. They are going to be a real force to contend with. And so while perhaps we're bickering about things in the Middle East that really aren't our concern, they're more the concern of the Bush family than they are us. Well, perhaps while we're doing that, real action is being taken in another part of the world, perhaps China, where the economy is getting stronger and stronger. Now, speaking of the economy, and speaking of war, and speaking of security, the dollar today, I believe, was at $1.339. Boy, that sounds like a gas price. $1.339 to the euro. Now, you go back a couple months, we were almost dead even. You go back a little bit before that, we were ahead of the euro. Some economists say that's a good thing. Some people say outsourcing is a good thing. Some people say hitting yourself on the head with a hammer is a good thing. I say no. I say let's think about it. No, I can't help but just say, you know, we are really not in the good times that are being painted by the administration. And we do have to watch their decision-making very, very, very closely, because at this key point in time, they want to change the Constitution. They want to wage war. Now, look out, friends. The draft is coming. He said no draft. His father said no taxes. That didn't seem to matter either, did it? And actually, when I think about it on a larger level, it only makes sense that certain things are inevitable to happen because it's the direction we've taken. It's the course that has been laid out for us and our children and their children. Now, let's participate. Let's really, really participate. Let's do our best to see if perhaps we might change some of these things before it's too late. Think at worldmicroscope.com. THINK at worldmicroscope.com. If you'd like to contact us via the post, World Microscope, care of the Think Radio Network, 230 Homestead Street. Well, I almost said it. I bit my own lip. You see, I don't know what it is. We'll try that again, though. See, everyone, you get all these colorful things that go with the show. World Microscope, care of the Think Radio Network, 230 Homestead Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15218 in the United States of America. Have a good night, and we will do it all again tomorrow night.